Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. And because this is a very recognizable title, we are going to call this message today, Anger Management. Anger Management. So if you've ever had trouble with an out-of-control anger, or know somebody who has, this lesson ought to be a practical help to you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. The Bible says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Notice it says again, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now we use that phrase, anger management, as the title for our message today because the world likes this phrase, and so I'm going to use it because that conjures up in your mind a way to get control of your temper. Now, using this phrase, anger management, reminds me of something that I saw happen one time. We were at a swimming pool, and a lady had her son in the pool, and he got mad. He was playing with some of the kids, and something frustrated him. And so he lost his cool. He began to go ballistic. And I can remember, as he is trying to fight and scream and holler his way into whatever it is he wanted, his mother got to the side of the pool and started hollering, "Use your anger management tools! Use your anger management tools!" And I thought to myself, there's no way. He's already lost his cool. It's too late. He's going to have to go on with this and let it all cool down. And then maybe next time, before he gets to this point, he can use his anger management tools. Now, what she was saying basically is that they had been to counseling. They had been to a psychologist, and the psychologist had given them some tools to use in order to dispel anger, in order to alleviate the anger or to deal with the anger when it started coming up. Well, we're not going to really resort to psychology. If you need to find out about how to control your anger from a psychologist, check with a psychologist or another program that is broadcast by a psychologist. We're going to give you some stuff from the Bible. And we're going to give you some stuff from practical experience. And I don't say that we're going to cover all of the bases here, but I think we're going to get enough in this little bit of time that we ought to be able to help you some, okay? Now, according to this text, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And you know something? The world likes a hero. The world really does. I mean, the world likes a hero. The world likes a mighty man. When some great accomplishment is made, somebody becomes the most valuable player of a great tournament, or somebody wins a weight race car event, or somebody wins a golf tournament, particularly one of the big ones, and you know, all those kind of things. People like heroes. They like a mighty man, somebody that's really had to resort to that deep inner strength to be able to win the victory. They like that kind of thing. And when you think of heroes and mighty men, of course, that battle between David and Goliath stands out as one of the principal ones of all time. A shepherd boy with a sling and a great mighty warrior with an armor bearer. And the little shepherd boy wins. What is that? Well, that's that mighty man that was down deep inside of David. And of course, David attracted other mighty men into his army. And they're listed for you in Chronicles and in Samuel there. A man who takes a city is certainly a powerful man. And he has to be in order to be able to command the troops and organize the siege and cause the city to capitulate. I'm reminded of great men like Sennacherib and Nebuchadnezzar. Although they were on the other side, you know, because they were used to destroy Israel, they were mighty men. They were brilliant in their ability to mastermind the attack and then succeed. Of course, Joshua stands out as the all-time great, because he always figured out and devised methods of warfare that succeeded. I think, except for that little fiasco down there in Ai, because somebody you know, disobeyed God, and 36 men lost their lives. Besides that, Joshua, I'm telling you, man, he won 31 straight. And he took them on. If there were five kings that got together, if there was one king in a city by itself, it didn't make any difference. He beat them all. And he knew how to fight. And he set up this, speaking of Ai, set up a tremendous ambush procedure of drawing the men out of the city and then coming in behind them and enclosing them in the troop, burning the city so that they knew that their houses and their valuables and their families were going up in smoke, to demoralize the army and then just crush them. Well, that's some tremendous stuff. And I tell you what, when people read, they like to read those kinds of war victories. And so the mighty man that takes a city, he's notable. And, you know, as great as David was over Goliath and as great as Joshua was in all of his battles, these men were not as great as a man who can control his spirit and temper, who can control his spirit and control his anger. To do this takes some real character and inner strength. And Solomon said, as great as a mighty man is, and as great as a warrior is who can take a city, a man who can control his anger is better than that. Now, you may be a person who is prone to lose your anger, lose your temper and have big angry outbursts. And if you are, I'm going to tell you, there are some great things in this Bible that will help you, and there are some great things that are practical lessons from life that will help you to be able to start getting a handle on your anger. Because you know that your anger is hurting the relationship that you have with your friends who have to be the party to this, and particularly hurting your children and hurting your wife or your husband if you're a woman that's prone to big angry outbursts. Now, I'm going to show you a few verses, just three or four, to show you a few things about how to deal with anger, how to get this anger under control, and then we're going to talk about some practical things. All right, look first of all in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Now, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says this, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." So a man who passes over a transgression and doesn't lose his cool gets more glory than the man who blows his cool for whatever reason. And it takes discretion to defer anger. Now, discretion would mean that you have weighed out what's going to happen. If I blow my cool here and get my way, what's the end result? Okay, I get my way. You know, there's some people who have to, if they have to force the issue in order to get their way, they're not really happy when they get their way because they're the ones that had to make it happen by intimidation and anger. So it takes discretion. The man's got to look at it before he blows his cool and decide what's the end result here. And a man of discretion will look at it and say, you know what, the outcome of this thing is going to be far worse if I blow my cool, and he's got enough control to stop it. It takes discretion. And we're going to look at a few things today would indicate a man had exercised in discretion before losing his anger or losing his temper. All right, here's another one. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. If you're going to get some control over your spirit and temper your anger, then Proverbs 14, 29 says that it's going to take understanding. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. You're going to do something foolish when you lose your cool. All right, so he says, he that is slow to wrath is of not just a little bit of understanding, great understanding. And that is because he understands what's going to happen when he does blow his cool, when he does blow his stack. And then one other thing it takes discretion, it takes understanding, and then look in James chapter 1 at verse 19 and see something else that it takes. James chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says this, James 1 verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." It takes self-control. I mean, for a man to be able to swift to hear, that's okay. That means he's going to have to keep his mouth shut. That can be hard to do. And slow to speak, that means he's really going to have to keep that tongue locked behind his teeth. And then slow to wrath means he's really, really going to have to keep a control over his temper while he listens carefully and doesn't say anything, because verse 20 goes on to say, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." There's very little right in anger that's displayed like that, because it doesn't work the righteousness of God. So what we're going to look at today then is that in order to get control of your temper, to keep from blowing your stack and going off on somebody else and having a tremendous angry display, you've got to have discretion, you've got to have understanding, and you've got to have self-control. Those three things right there. Discretion, because you got to be able to weigh that thing before you react to it. Understanding, because you got to know what the outcome is once you do blow your stack. And self-control, to listen and to keep your mouth shut. There are many a time when a man was ready to go after somebody and blow his anger, lose his cool, and lose his temper, and then afterwards, when he did not do it because he had thought it through and made a decision not to do it, and he actually was able to keep his tongue, he said later, "I am so glad that I didn't say what I wanted to say. I am so glad that I didn't say what I wanted to say, because then I'd have to pick up all the pieces again." And there was a certain amount of, a certain amount of happiness and joy in knowing that he was able to keep it under control. All right, now, there are many, many contributing factors handling your temper. The first one is patience. The verse there in James said, "Slow to wrath." The verse in Proverbs said, "Slow to wrath." Slow to wrath. Slow, the Bible says. You see what happens when a man starts to blow his stack, or a woman starts to blow her stack. That thing is like a kettle going off, and there's like a volcano or a tea kettle that's about to boom like that. So what a man does, or what a woman does when he's slow to wrath, is he doesn't let the steam build so fast. He keeps a lid on it so that it doesn't have a tendency to blow. He keeps it cool. Now, in order to do that, you got to have patience. You have to really take your time when things are getting pressed. You see, what normally happens when a person is hasty with his words is that things start going away from him. Things are not going the way that he planned, or the way that he scheduled, or the way that he thought in his mind that they should have gone. And so he gets pressed. And when that happens to you, you have to pull back. You have to gather yourself. You have to slow down. You have to say, "Now, wait a minute. Before I say whatever it is that's coming to my mind, I've got to back off and think carefully about how what I'm getting ready to say is going to be viewed and taken by the people to whom I'm going to say it." And if you can recognize with discretion and understanding that it is going to escalate into a war, then you better think about how to say what you got to say another way, or don't say anything at all until everything else is calmed down and come back at it later. Things aren't always going to go the way you planned, and they're not going to go the way you scheduled. You may be trying to get something finished by nightfall, and you may all of a sudden have had something break. Well, you know what? You're not satisfied with the one thing that broke. You're going to get a hammer and break something else, because suddenly the plan you had has been changed, and now you're not going to meet the schedule you had. And that thing's going to mess you up. You have to pull back. Otherwise, the mess that you're about to make with your anger is going to end up taking more time after you have to clean up the disaster you leave and go back and patch it up with the people that you hurt and replace the things that you broke and minister to the injuries that you might have caused to yourself. You got to slow down. You got to realize that just because you had it planned out that whatever it is you're involved in now, you'd be finished with by noon or 6 o'clock this evening or whatever, and all suddenly a part that you needed is not available, a part that you were counting on working has now broken, something like that. You can't beat the inanimate object to death because something went wrong. You got to recognize and plan into your thinking and into your schedules and into your day that things are not going to work out the way that you thought, with people or with things. And so you got to have some patience. You got to, as somebody said, you got to build all those factors into your schedule and into your thinking and into your day and into your life. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to become intolerably angry every time there is the least bit adjustment in the schedule. something breaks you weren't counting on breaking, you got to make another trip to the store. Somebody didn't show up and said they'd be there. Whatever the case may be. Easy, boy. Easy. Back up. Back up. Don't rush at it. Just recognize as early as you possibly can, things are changing here. I've got to adjust. I've got to adjust and adjust. That's where the discretion and the understanding and the slow to wrath come in. Okay, here's the second thing. Not only does it take patience, it also takes planning. Plan a job that you don't want to do around a time when you feel like doing it so that you can enjoy it rather than fight it. There are a lot of people that are pressed because somebody comes at them and says, hey, such and such needs to be taken care of. And they're task-oriented people, and they say, well, I don't want to deal with that thing. But, you know, it's there. Now it's got to be dealt with. So they kind of say, well, I'll just drop this and go do that. And the next thing you know, right there, when you've made that decision to react to do something you didn't want to do in the first place, and you get started, you have already built into your thinking that you're mad about what you're having to do. And you're gonna make sure that the person that asked you to do it or the person who was responsible for this is going to pay for it when you display your anger at how mad you are that you had to do this thing in the first place when you didn't want to do it. Hey, accept it. If you don't do it, nobody else is. You're the only one that's capable, or you're the one that know how to do it best. So you know what you need to do? You just need to throttle on back and say, you know what? I'll take care of that, but not right now. And if it's something that can wait, and usually it is, then just wait till tomorrow morning when you wake up, you feel a little better about it, or wait a week if you have to. I mean, check the thing out. Generally speaking, those kind of things that you end up having to hassle with were little things to begin with. They weren't earth-shattering to begin with, and there wasn't any reason for you to get all bent out of shape, pressed out of shape about having to do the thing in the first place. Just cool it. Look, there are a lot of things that I don't like to do that I have to do. So what I've decided that I'm going to do is I'm going to do them when I want to do them. And if that's next week, then I'll do it next week. I mean, I've actually put off things for a year I didn't want to do them. I hated to do them so badly. But you know, one day I got up and I said, I just made a list, stuck it there on the refrigerator, and it was there to remind me from time to time. And one day I got up and said, you know what? I actually feel like doing that today. And shock of all shocks, I enjoyed it. And look back on there, I thought, you know what? That wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. Well, okay, it just took some planning. I'll tell you something else about planning. Make sure you have all the necessary tools. And make all the necessary preparations so that you don't get mad trying to force something to work that just won't work. I mean, it's just accepted that if you've got to go off and rent a piece of equipment or something else to help you finish that job, that is better than a back injury because you got all bent out of shape. Or a hammer between the eyes of your partner there because you expected him to be able to pull more of his load than he could pull. Look, if you got to get a different tool or you got to, you know, they make a lot of tools that you can rent to take care of these kind of things so that you don't end up having to get all bent out of shape doing the stuff that makes you mad. So plan it. Plan it. I hear something else that's a contributing factor in discretion and understanding and self-control. It's humility. Oh, humility. Proud wrath, that kind that's spoken of in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24. Proud wrath, it's the worst kind of anger. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. It's one of the most dangerous kinds of anger. Because what you got to do is you've got to settle down and realize that you may just be wrong. Selfishness and pride will end up causing more troubles when you lose your temper. All this loud anger to get your own way is going to cost you big time. The people that you have pushed and pressed with your anger are going to leave you. They're not going to want anything to do with you, or if they're intimidated and doing things for you because of your anger, they're going to get tired of you after a while. It will destroy your family. You know what you need to do in a case like that? You need to hear the other guy out. If it's your wife or your children or your business partner, you got to hear the other guy out. You got to back off and realize that what you're thinking may be wrong. Or he may have a better idea than you do. He may have something very valuable to say. And then when he said it and you've got to weigh out which way is better, speak softly when you reply to keep from escalating the discussion into an argument. That's what Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Listen, You know how the thing goes. These arguments that cause you to lose your temper and these episodes that cause you to lose your temper, they escalate. They don't start out like that. They escalate. And so the way to keep from having the thing escalate is to keep your answer soft. Just take a deep breath, speak softly, and recognize that if you want the thing to escalate, you'll use grievous words, and then you'll lose your temper again, and then you got to go through all that process of apology and shame and guilt and everything else. Listen, the only way around that is some humility. You're going to have to humble yourself some. Another contributing factor is compromise. This is the time when you don't want your way. This compromise is a time when you do want your way and someone else wants their way also, and you've decided you just ain't going there. You're going to clamp down and get your way come hell or high water. And you know whenever you've made that decision in your mind, there's fixing to be an explosion. You have already built into what's fixing to happen an angry, angry display. You know it's coming because you've already made up your mind. You're not giving in. Listen, when you feel the urge coming to the surface that you want to stand your ground, and hey, sometimes you have to, but not most of the time. Back off a second and realize that both of you can't have your way. That's the first thing to recognize. Look, okay, I can't have my way and he have his way at the same time. He can't have his way and me have my way at the same time. One of us is going to have to give some ground here. All right, then when you finally realize that, see that discretion, see that understanding, then explain to the other person, your spouse, your children, your business partner, an associate, whatever, explain why your way is so important to you. And then, be fair, let the other person explain why their way is so important to them. And then weigh the importance. One of them is going to be obviously a better solution than the other one. And if, in fact, the better solution is in your partner's thinking, then give a little. Give a little. Give a little under circumstances when you weren't so determined to get your own way. And if you would have given under those circumstances, now that you're just a little more pressed about it, give under these circumstances too. I mean, this usually happens when you're all beat up, you're all tired, you're all worn out, and you finally said, I've had enough, I don't want to do this anymore. That's when the comes. Well, just back off a little. Use some discretion, use some understanding, use some self-control, be slow to wrath. Maybe, just maybe, you can find a way to accommodate the other person, even though you don't want to, without hurting yourself. All right, and then there's about three or four other things, but I can say these easily and quickly. One of them is don't take the bait. By that, I mean there are a lot of times when you know there are certain triggers in your life that just cause you to jump. I mean, you know what they are. You've seen them. You react to them every time they come up. And the next time somebody throws you the bait, you know, like fishing, don't pick it up. Don't pick it up. Just let it sit there. There are a lot of times, that's what he said here, be slow to speak. There are a lot of times when you do not have to respond. You do not have to react. You can just turn around and walk off. So often in husband and wife arguments, it comes because the wife knew exactly what button to push, threw that bait out there, and I mean just like a big old catfish, her husband just jumped right on it. Wham! And she said, the fight is on. You know, sometimes you look at that thing and you know what's coming. You know it's a trigger. You know it's bait. You know it's going to get you. Just leave it alone. Just don't say anything at all. And there you go. He said slow to speak. He said rule your spirit. He said use some discretion. And pass over the transgression. Just let it go. You're not in the mood for a big old fight. So just let it go. Another thing to do is just rest. It's so easy to blow your cool when you're tired and worn out. And when you're tired and worn out, you already know that you're about ready to explode anyway. Just say, you know what? That's it for the day. Let's just don't, you know, get into it. Or if somebody wants to have a serious discussion about something, when you're tired like that, just say, you know what? Let's don't do this today. Let's do it tomorrow. Let me get some sleep. Go make you a bowl of cereal, crawl in the bed, read you a little no-brainer article to sedate yourself a little bit, and go to sleep. Get up in the morning, and if you're feeling up to it then talk about it. Discretion, man. Understanding. Self-control. Rule that spirit. Another thing is diet. And I cannot emphasize this enough, but I don't want to spend a great deal of time on it. Sugar and white flour are like throwing fuel on the fire. for some folks. Literally speaking, you ought to find out if you're just really prone to bad anger bursts regularly, you ought to go and check yourself out with a doctor and do one of these glucose tolerance tests and see if you're not borderline hypoglycemic. That is low blood sugar, where sugar enters your body and actually the insulin hits your body to remove all that sugar and some more. And if you are, then just cut out sugar and white flour altogether. Get off the desserts and all that. Eat a little fruit from time to time. Your appetite will change in time. And you know what? I'll tell you what. It will absolutely change your disposition. You won't have those angry bursts, not nearly like you did before. And then another one is alcohol. And I don't know whether you drink or not, but if you do and you are prone to angry outbursts, you're a fool to keep drinking. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you're prone to anger and you use alcohol at all, you ought to stop, because strong drink is R-A-G-I-N-G, raging. It's the alcohol that starts speaking, and you're a fool to stay with it. You oughtn't drink it anyway. But if you're prone to anger, you really oughtn't to. It's fuel for the fire. It's fuel for the fire. So this thing here that Solomon told us, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You want to be a man slow to anger? Then use some discretion. Use some understanding. Get control over your tongue, James chapter 1 says. And be patient. Slow down. Plan it out so that you don't handle jobs that are going to make you mad on a day, and make sure you got all the preparations made so when things change, you know, you can go with the flow. It's easy to do. Humility, you don't have to be right. Compromise, if there's any way you can accommodate them without blowing your cool, and you would have under circumstances when you were feeling good anyway, then go ahead and do it. Don't take the bait when somebody's trying to draw you into an argument. You know the triggers, just leave it alone. Get plenty of rest. Change your diet, get away from the sugar, and quit drinking. And those things will help you. Those are very practical things. They all encompass discretion, understanding, and self-control. And I'll tell you what, you'll be a lot happier. You'll be a lot happier, and so will the people around you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. Amen.